Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and your host for this podcast program. And today it's our great pleasure to be interviewing Christine Brown Taylor, who is the Reentry Services Manager for the San Diego County Sheriff's Department. We're delighted to have you with us this afternoon, Christine. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We want to thank you for the terrific entree you gave us to Las Colinas when we had the great opportunity of interviewing some of the ladies, as I understand you, who live there, and also Captain Erica Frierson. So we're very grateful.
I'm glad that you found the experience very enjoyable.
We did, and we're all now very, very madly in love, I might say, with Las Colinas and its programs, and we'll talk some more about that. Tell us, if you will, what Reentry Services Manager, as your title, what does that mean and entail?
Some people are familiar with the Criminal Justice Realignment, or AB 109, and that was a big legislative change that happened in California. And what that did is it would send people that would normally go to prison, state prison, they would be kept locally in our jails. And our sheriff, Bill Gore, he knew at that point in time, he said, we're going to have to really increase all of our rehabilitative programs, our reentry, and what does that mean? How are we going to do that? So they decided, him and the command staff said, we need to have somebody that is going to spearhead that, to really expand all of the classes, all of the training, vocational programs in our facilities to help with a reentry into the community.
That must have been a huge undertaking. When was AB 109 passed, and when did you start the redevelopment or the development of these programs?
The legislation actually passed on October in 2011. It was one of these bills that was super fast. Like, people weren't even sure it was going to go through, and then it did go through, and then it was this massive change. And part of the reason why it was in existence was to reduce the prison population. And so at some time, it was very controversial. A lot of sheriff's departments said, we don't have room for anybody else, and now the state is going to tell us we're going to be needing to have people held in our local jails. We as a county and the sheriff's department said, you know what, we're going to look at this as an opportunity because we feel that we'll be able to provide services to people that are incarcerated that are going to be returning to our community. So that's how it began. The Reentry Services Manager position actually became in existence in 2012 in December, and that I was the first person to be selected for that position.
Excellent. And of course, we're delighted to acknowledge the fact that you are a woman in that role. And that is something that we have noticed and been impressed by, that a number of the roles in the senior levels are held by women. Is this a general factor of the Sheriff's Department?
I would say yes, definitely. If you look at the top management, a lot of the management roles and a lot of the commanders and even the command staff, as what we would say, have a lot of females. I don't know what it looks like for other departments, but I know that it is our staff at the leadership level is very diverse. You know, females, older, younger, it's just a big variety of a mix.
You're really representing the entire community in that way, aren't you, with that mix?
Absolutely.
How do you think you reflect and compare with the rest of the nation, with the rest of the United States, as far as that variety?
Mm-hmm. I think we're I've never looked at the statistics of it, but looking at other leadership roles, I know people that are in my type of role in their different departments or different jails or correctional systems, there's not nearly as many women. When I go to meetings, I notice that generally it's more men than women. Same thing with the command level staff, you know, like commanders, lieutenants, captains, those kind of folks. So generationally, women are seeing being in law enforcement as a positive thing in the ability to advance. So whether it's in the management side of operations, budgeting, you know, the financial management, those kind of things.
That's an interesting answer that you just gave. And it just made me wonder, what drew you to law enforcement and to the role that you're playing now?
I am a social worker. Mm-hmm. I got my degree at San Diego State. I was one of those people that didn't know what I wanted to do initially when I first got out of high school and went to college several times, and was much more inclined to think about more social work type of things, working with the homeless population, working in the inner city, you know, those kind of roles. But then I finally realized, you know, I just might as well just go and get my degree in social work. I originally am from Ohio, small little town in Ohio. I worked at a rape crisis center and I was a coordinator there. And then from there, then I moved to California. I just felt that I wanted to really expand my horizons. So moved to San Diego because it's beautiful, as we all know. And I had a friend that lived here and said, you know, it's just a wonderful place. So I said, okay, here I go. So I finished and got my bachelor's and master's degree at San Diego State. But when I was back in Ohio, when I was working at the Rape Crisis Center, this was in the early days of looking at domestic violence and looking at what is the response, what is the law enforcement response, what is the community response. And obviously working at a rape crisis center, then we were dealing with a lot of the victims or the survivors. And then I started seeing such patterns with the batters or the partners that were doing the violence. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what are we doing to make sure that they're not going to go and do this again to somebody else? Mm-hmm. Because that's what we would see. So that was in the early days when they were really looking at batters treatment. What does that mean? What kind of interventions can be done and how do we do that? So I started becoming very interested in that, never dreaming I would be working for a law enforcement agency. From that point, then when I moved to California, I started doing actually groups, batters treatment groups, and I did that for several years while I was going and getting my degree. And so once I did that, then I worked at San Diego State for a few years, working in the inner city, working on college enhancement or encouraging disadvantaged youth to go to college. And then the funding ran out, as many nonprofits experience. And then I went to UCSD and started working in a case management system in state prison. So UCSD had a contract to be able to go into the state prisons. They would send social workers or people with some similar backgrounds to start interviewing the mentally ill and talking about what their transition is going to be. It was very short. You would review their criminal record and review their history and then try to help them to make a plan. And so that's when I really started seeing all of the dynamics of being incarcerated and how hard it is for people to reenter their community when they've been incarcerated, especially for, you know, a period of time.
Even the terminology reentry is such a promising word, isn't it? That we are, you're working ahead and expecting these folk now, especially the women that we have been talking with, to reenter the community with jobs and with respect.
Yes.
And was that part of the development of the programs that you coordinated? Because the women remarked on how respected they are by the staff at Las Colinas. And can you talk to us anything about that with the level of the programs and how you managed to get everybody to imbue that respect in all the work they do?
Well, I think that comes from the top down. The sheriff was really, he sent the message to everybody and said, you know, this is a public safety issue. And, you know, the goal of having people not come back into custody is always an admirable goal. But the bigger goal is we need to provide skills, training, motivation for people that come out of custody that they will reenter the community and not victimize somebody else, not create a new crime. Because we all know the people that are in the jails in San Diego, they're going to be released in San Diego. They're going to come back to your neighborhood. And we knew that and it would take a large approach to be able to do that, a big collaborative effort with all of our criminal justice partners, whether it's a district attorney's office, the public defender, the courts, health and human services. And when I talk to folks, I say, you know, reentry is a community effort. It's not just a sheriff's effort. It's not just probation. It's everybody working together to provide a system so that when people are in custody and they get released, that they can become productive as citizens. So that's the overall goal.
And you are seeing, I believe, in the 2 years since the new facility at Las Colinas was established, you're seeing a decrease in recidivism. Is that correct?
everybody wants data. Everybody mm-hmm. wants to figure out, you know, what works, what's effective. And we are starting to see a reduction in the recidivism rates for certain populations. Eventually, we want to be sophisticated enough to say that we can look at everybody and look at every woman that comes to Las Colinas and then be able to determine what that looks like as far as how successful that she is when she reenters the community. It's a daunting task because people weren't that necessarily interested in doing that, you know, as far as saying what value is it, because, you know, 20 years ago, the research would say people don't change. Mm-hmm. And within the criminal justice, even some of the top researchers would say, oh, no, it's a fixed thing. They're never going to change. They're just going to continue to come back. So you just accepted that as fact. As time went on and better research came out and started to look at the interventions, the researchers then are saying, well, wait a minute, if you do this, this, and this, this could help to reduce recidivism. Mm. So it is have people be motivated, give them skills and training, have them be able to be clean and sober, have a support system in the community. Those are all factors that play heavily if someone is going to be successful when they come out of a county jail.
Mm-hmm. Marvelous programs from what we've learned, and our listeners will be able to listen to the inmates, the ladies that we interviewed, where they talk extensively about the programs. I want to come back to you. You supervise, I understand, in excess of 100 people, is that correct?
Yes. Under the Reentry Services Division, I'm in charge of a lot of different aspects. The ones that are providing the direct services to the ladies and men in all of our jails are the correctional counselors. I have about 30 correctional counselors, and they have more social work or psychology, human behavior type of backgrounds, and they're very vested and dedicated to providing services.
So this may be a hard question to ask you because I'm sure it varies every day, but what does a day in your life look like in your role?
Wow, that is a hard question. You know, the days fly by so fast, sometimes you can't even remember what happened. But, you know, a lot of my role is to work with a lot of the community partners, work on our criminal justice partners to be able to develop systems that are going to be effective. Mm-hmm. How do we communicate with each other? How do we provide information that is going to be beneficial to the people that are in our custody? But I find the most enjoyment going to like a graduation. So we would have little ceremonies in our jails that would be celebrating the people there that have done really well and listen to them talk about how their lives are changed and what they look for in the future. So that's the most heartfelt mm-hmm. experience that you have, you know, so you're at the top dealing with budgets and policy and all these meetings. But then, you know, the real joy is when you're talking with the individuals that are there and listening to the women talk about how they have, for the first time in their lives, some hope.
And hope was a word we heard frequently. Mm-hmm. So it's working. What you are giving them in the way of programs, it appears to be working. Now, I'm thinking about the other detention facilities beyond Las Colinas, because I understand your division is responsible for about 7 of them. Is that correct? Or maybe even more than that now. And I just wondered, are the programs that are in place at Las Colinas being considered across other, or maybe already implemented across other detention facilities?
Well, all of our detention facilities, all of our jails, they do provide some level of the programming. But we knew when we opened up Las Colinas, we needed to have a gender responsive approach. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of programs for our males. And unfortunately, a lot of the curriculums were developed for men. They were not developed for women. And we know that women are different. We know that women have different needs and have different motivators and have different issues that they have to deal with when they get released. So we really wanted to be gender responsive. We built the facility to look and be gender responsive, but we knew we had to have our programming, our training for our staff, the way that we are managing and dealing with the women there on a daily basis. It all has to be gender responsive. And so we are working currently with Stephanie Covington, who is internationally known. She's written a lot of curriculum on gender responsive. We've hired her as a consultant to help us to develop all of that.
Mm. So this is becoming quite a new look, isn't it, in the world of internment and life behind walls. It's changing quite dramatically. Do you think yet that our community is becoming aware of the changes to the prison system?
I think it depends. There's still a segment of the population that believe that people don't change. I am not one of those, obviously, and none of my staff is, because we have seen people be really, you know, you would just look at them when they first came into custody and say, there is no way this person is not coming back, and watch them develop, grow, gain some insight, gain motivation, build relationships that are positive, and then you do see them going out and being successful, getting a job, getting their kids back, being productive citizens. There is a large segment that you give them the right tools and the focus and the motivation, and they can be successful.
Mm-hmm. Do you think any of them might come back and actually work in some of the programs that you provide for the women?
We've had an event this summer, and we actually brought one of the graduates of our culinary arts program so she could talk to the women and talk about her experience and how she is crime-free, living a kind of the everyday life that all of us leave, you know, paying rent or buying a car or doing the things that we all have to do. But it's very important to see people that are successful come back and talk to the people that are in our jails.
Yes, because they have that firsthand experience, certainly, don't they? So we're coming to the end of our conversation here, and I just wondered if you would like to share any thoughts on, or what actions should citizens take when they find that perhaps they have a former inmate living next door or across the road? What can we do to support these women and men when they come back into the community?
It's very interesting they ask that. You know, they've done some research nationally, and 1 in 100 people have been incarcerated. And unfortunately, women's rates are rising more than men rates are for being in custody. So a lot of it is support. And that's what we try to work with the ladies and saying, you've got to develop a support system, somebody that you can talk to, somebody that will be in your corner, somebody that can pick you up when you're feeling down or it's a really difficult day. Because we know it's not an easy transition. There's so many factors to what needs to happen for those individuals, and it's quite the struggle. So just being supportive and believing in that person many times is what really helps these men and women actually become successful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Now, that was just interesting, the comment you just made about women are increasingly being incarcerated. Can you tell us why that's happening? What's the root cause of that?
Well, I think they're still looking at those numbers and trying to figure this out, but we know that substance abuse is a major factor. So we estimate around 80% of the females in custody are there because of substance abuse, whether they were actively using drugs, selling drugs, involved in sex trafficking. There's a lot of different dynamics that are going on, gangs, and so that we think is one of the major factors.
Okay, and I assume a lot of the driving of that is the economy too.
Yes.
And the economic situation that some of these folks find themselves in. Well, unfortunately, we do have to draw to a close now, but I like you to have the last word. So I just wondered if there's anything that perhaps I haven't asked that you'd just like to share with us.
Well, I think that overall, there's just so much more emphasis on the community helping people that are being released and becoming more involved with that, whether it's through a church, whether it's through volunteer work at a nonprofit agency. It's building those support systems in the community. We can provide all the classes all day long for people, really get them motivated. But if they don't have the resources in the community to be successful, that's the biggest challenge, whether it's housing or drug treatment or mental health treatment, or, you know, like I had said before, a faith community that supports that person.
And it sounds on those words as though we probably could talk for about another 2 or 3 hours, because I can tell there is so much more information. But right now, we just want to express our appreciation to you, Christine Brown-Taylor, the Reentry Services Manager in the San Diego County Sheriff's Department. Thank you so much for sharing a conversation with us today.
Thank you.